Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Podcast Machbar Training. Hello there, welcome to the Podcast Machbar Training. This episode will be held in English with one of the top coaches in golf, Craig Hansen. But who is Craig? Why do I have an interview with him? We're going to talk about golf, we're going to talk about strength training for golfers, for female and male athletes. I know him because together we have a female athlete who is under our, like, you could say, construction, a very talented young woman. And today I hooked up with Craig to talk a little bit about, golf, some strength exercises for golfers, and also some tips from Craig how you can improve your game. He's also very active on YouTube, and he has an online course called World Class Golf Instructions. But let's start the podcast right now. Enjoy the episode, Coach Simon.
So, Craig, I want to say thank you for joining the podcast today on Machbar Training. Tell me briefly about yourself, Craig, who you are and where are you from?
Okay, Simon, thanks for having me. Yes, my name's Craig Hansen. I come from Australia and grew up in Australia, and started golf at a very young age, the age of 11 years old, and played a lot of junior golf and junior tournaments, and had a little bit of success there at a young age, and decided to do an apprenticeship to become a professional golfer. It was something that it just felt like the right thing to do. I was completely in love with the game. So I did a three-year apprenticeship where you make about $100 a week or something.
Okay.
and then became a professional instructor. It's a very difficult thing to do in Australia. It was a very strict tests and getting through the whole thing. And I think 40-something people started in my year, and only 7 or 8 got through in the end. So, so that was good. And then I did a little bit of teaching, and I went at a young age out on the professional tour, and played all through Australia, played all through New Zealand, and also in Asia, for about 7, 8, 9 years, and then I've come over to Germany to start teaching, and since then I've been teaching many professional golfers and many players from all around the world.
Wow. Okay. So why are you located in Germany then? So why you stop traveling?
Well, I was on the tour, and I had perhaps a 6 months or 8 months patch or period where I wasn't playing my best golf. So I decided to come to Germany and do some golf teachings. I knew some Australian instructors there, just for a season or just for 6 to 8 months, and get back on the tour. But as it goes, I met a lovely young lady along the way, and she's now my wife. So,
nice.
I did go back to the tour, but after having a break away from that type of intensive competition, it became even more difficult. I noticed you have to really live that life and be involved in that type of life to have that focus and that concentration, and also to play in front of large crowds and people to handle the pressure. So after I noticed I sort of slipped back a level, I made a decision to get involved in more instruction and teaching.
Okay, nice. Did you ever play the other sport in golf? Ever thought about?
Yeah, I did. Obviously, when I was young, and especially I think back in the days before mobile phones, in Australia, everybody, it was very well known for like everybody playing sport, where you'd often see the girls throwing a ball that looked like a guy's throwing action. You know, everyone played sport in Australia. So cricket, which, you know, everyone dresses up like doctors in the white clothes, you know, that game.
No,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it's played through, you know, the Commonwealth countries of England and India and South Africa. And so we played a lot of cricket. There's actually a game, I mean, in Germany, you guys are the champions at soccer, at Fußball, yeah?
Yeah.
But we don't really have a huge following of that in Australia. So then we have a thing, the Australian football, which
I know that Australian
football. Have you seen that?
Yeah, sure. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really, really crazy. And we've played a lot of that. That's just huge in Australia. So when
explain it a little bit. I mean, they play with a soccer ball, right?
No, they play with like an American football-shaped ball, right? Okay. That gridiron type of shape of ball. And you've got, what have you got? I think you've got 18 guys on each team, and they're all built like boxers. You know, rugby players, they're huge.
Yeah.
And they, you've got to kick the ball between posts and they run without any protection straight at each other. And there's massive injuries. They're so fit. There's a lot of money in it. And I think they stopped playing through injuries and stuff at around 30 years age. But the skill level, and it's the only country they play it in. So it's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, I think I saw something like that. But do they have a normal goal then, like a soccer goal?
They have like these huge posts, like Foston, you know, straight up.
Okay.
And you've got to kick it through these posts, and if you get 6 points if you get it through the middle.
So it's between soccer, American football, and rugby, right?
Yeah, and you'll get 100. They get sometimes 80,000 or 100,000 people at a game. So they've built these.
Wow.
Huge stadiums all around Australia, and everybody's loves it. There's football shows and everything like that. So played a lot of that growing up, but
it's adrenaline poor.
Yeah,
like that's
exactly.
The same with I come from. First, I started with track and field, and then I was playing American football here in Germany, and like, phew, yeah, it's just adrenaline. If you hit somebody, if you have that fight, the legal fight on the field, I just enjoy that. Yeah.
that American football, that's unbelievable. They run straight at each other, and they're big guys, right?
Yeah, big guys. The athleticism behind it. It's like you can be tall, you can be small, you can be fat, you can be just muscular. So everybody has like an option to play American football. And the next thing is like it's just about athleticism. It's about speed. It's about like running on the field, cutting, moving, catching balls.
Yeah.
Everything together, and also like tactic, a lot of stuff is like tactic. But why you stuck with golf? Like, what was the point that you really enjoy in golf and still being like a coach in golf, like instructor?
Well, I was really good at balancing in football, and it seemed to be something that I could do. And when the first time I played golf, I just hit the ball straight away. It was not like. It was just something that I guess I was sort of maybe a little bit born to do. And so that went off, and it was just a feeling it gave me that was, I went off in that, definitely in that direction, and decided to make a life of it. And then I remember when I was, playing golf, I was really fascinated in coaching, and I enjoyed it, and I could help people, you know, probably pretty quickly. And I felt like it was something that I really wanted to do. And at the start, when I was younger, I had an operation on my left hip. And then looking back, that really, it's not like an excuse, but it really did sort of have an impact on the motion and the movement of my game. And so I had further operations, and now it's okay. And that's where, you know, the body just plays, now that I've studied golf for so long, it just plays such a massive role in golf, and everyone's starting to understand that, whereas when years gone by that wasn't quite recognized, but now professional sport golf has changed immensely.
So did you start with strength training when you started with golf?
When I started it was golf was a lot more relaxed, you know. The pros they'd have a round of golf and they'd go and have some beers. they go into the clubhouse, and guys weren't really fit. We had heard of a guy from South Africa called Carrie Player who did some fitness. He was one of the first guys and became one of the best players ever, actually. There was a guy called Greg Norman, and they used to call him, he was from Australia, called the Shark, and he used to play in a cowboy hat. He was like one of the coolest dudes. He got to number one in the world, and he just dominated. Nice. He got into fitness, but I didn't get into it until I was well into my 30s and actually a golf teacher. I mean, you do your stretching. I always did that throughout my golf career, and your push-ups and your sit-ups. But unfortunately, and I really wish that I had have back then really known more about it and got into weight training. It's just so important for golf these days. But obviously, we're going to have a chat about that. So that's it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay. What was the greatest moment as a coach and as a player? Like, what was your greatest moment?
Let's say as a player, there's probably two. I think the one was the second in the Queensland Open State Championship. So that was a big tournament with about 140 professionals, and I came second, tied with one of Australia's best ever players, Peter Senior. And Peter Senior's won the Australian Open many times. He was one of the top players in the world for a long, long time. And so that was at a big four-round championship in windy conditions. I was like 11 under par at the end after four rounds. That was probably the best result. But there was a two-day tournament that had a lot of really good players in the field, and I won that one. That was called the Ballina Open, and I won that one by about seven shots. I had a course record. I had 69-64. I was 12 under or something like that. And so I won that one by a lot. So that somehow, those two seem to stick in my head. As a coach, I was started out about 6 or 7 years ago. Yeah, teaching a lot of tour professionals, and I started teaching a guy called Paul Spargo and Nick Cullen, and Nick Cullen won the Australian Masters, and so that was a huge thing. And Adam Scott, who was the number one player in the world at that time, came third in the tournament. And at the story was just fascinating, because Paul Spargo was an underdog. People knew who Nick Cullen was, but no one had ever heard of Paul Spargo. And with just the tournament goes for 4 days, right? So just with six holes to go, I had both of my players were in first position on the leaderboard, and I could hear people in the crowd saying, "Who's Spargo? You know, who's this guy?" And Nick Cullen went on to win, and Paul Spargo just he came third, I think. He made a couple of mistakes in the end, and it was probably one of those times where it doesn't seem real. You know, when you have moments in your life that's surreal, and you can't believe that it's finally happening to you. So that was that was probably until now the best result.
Cool, awesome. Okay, let's start with something interesting for our golfers. What three tips would you give somebody who wants to improve their game in general? So nothing specific, but somebody who plays golf, who often goes out and just hit some balls and try to get better in their game and just do it as a hobby, like golf as a hobby. What three tips would you give them?
Yeah, I think that the main thing is just one of the main things is looking at how people stand and grip the golf club. You know, I've done somewhere around 40,000 lessons or something, and it's just, there's only a very small percentage of people that actually stand and grip the club effectively. And I think that people overlook it. They look at it like, oh, the basics. It's so easy, but and that really sets off sort of a chain reaction in the wrong direction. So that would be, you know, getting the correct information of the grip and the stance. That would be number one. For golfers to improve, it really is a complex game. So to make it sort of sound simple, you know, it's not really that easy when you're looking at the things that people need to work on. But for people to sort of understand, I would say that the golf swing, firstly, you have a centered head, and the club moves around on a swing plane, on a swing arc. And, you know, to really, you know, get in there and understand some of the movements of the swing, I would generally look at that. Obviously, you're looking at, you know, balance, keeping your head still and swinging in balance and through balance throughout the swing. and perhaps understanding the, you know, the club face positions. But as far as just sort of to say, okay, here's a few simple tips, it is difficult. So you're saying the start position, the address position, keeping a centered head and turning and moving around that point of the golf swing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, okay. When when I take it over to strength training, and I feel like I see so many people, they do strength training for a long time, but it's still, the basics are always the problem. Yeah. Like, their stance is not correctly on the deadlift or squat. There is no one best stance for a squat or a deadlift, but there's a specific stance for everybody to make the movement pattern make sense for them. And I see the same in strength training, like the grip and the stance, like the basics are often overlooked because they think like, oh, this is one something easy I don't have to work on, but you have to work. It has to be correct.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 100% right. And it's when you're looking at athletes, the good ones, and regardless of whatever sport, they realize how important it is. So they keep checking their grip. They keep checking in mirrors, their stance, because they know they don't want injury, but they also want to, from this position, make dynamic moves. And the general public, you know, the Bill Smith, you know, the normal guy, they look past that. They think that it's not perhaps important.
Yeah, because they think like there is something. Well, they always think for a easy way, but there is no easy way. It's hard work. Start on the beginning. Start on the basics. Every time you have to start on the basics.
Exactly. Yeah, it's exactly right.
We both coach together a young female athlete, you in golf and I in strength and conditioning. Please tell me again your opinion and why strength training is so important for golfers, and why a separate coach, like example, me as a strength coach, is useful for them.
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, you need to work with people like yourself, specialists, when it comes to if you want to have or produce a high-performance athletes. We're all specialized in our certain areas, but to have someone that really understands the body and really understands how to build certain muscles or how to build certain power, that's when you're looking at specialists, you know, like yourself. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're all good at what we do, but we all work better as a team when we have certain individuals together. The golf swing is a very interesting movement, and you can only move the club into certain positions and reach certain speeds because of your body.
Yeah,
you know, so people have no idea. When I see somebody hit a golf ball now, I can pretty much see, if they're a little bit older, what they're capable of doing because of the movements, the range of movements that they have. And then I can quickly, through a couple of tests, decide, you know, just by moving their shoulders or their arms around, that, you know, they're only able to do a certain few things. And so they don't understand how important that it is. And, you know, the top golfers, the speeds that they're reaching these days with the club head speed, how far that the ball is going, there is definitely now proof that you can say that if you cannot hit the ball to a certain distance, you would say on the men's tour, if you cannot reach 260 meters, there is absolutely no chance of you succeeding on the PGA Tour, on these top tours, because the distance left over to the hole from the statistics that they show, like the book from Mark Brody that analyzed 1 million statistics, that you have like a 0.2% chance of success if you're not reaching 260 meters, because the difficulty of the length of the shots, it's just too far away. So what's actually happening now in professional golf is, and then when they're taking people in universities in America, they're saying, unless you can reach this speed, you're not coming over. Or unless you can hit it this far, you cannot succeed. So that reason alone, just for fitness training, but not just, you know, the fitness in golf is to create stable positions so that in the backswing, when you get to the top, you're still in a solid position, that your right leg's not collapsing or moving, or your hips, and it's this solid core work and explosion work that is really more important than almost the golf swing itself. So with junior golfers, it's almost like if you're an aspiring professional, Let's get the speed first and learn to hit it straight later.
Yeah. Often I see like when golf fitness trainers, like fitness trainers working with like golf athletes, young athletes, for example, or also older athletes, they always work on like just rotation stuff and stabilization stuff where they use something like a balance pad to hold the balance. Mm-hmm. And it really makes me very angry because the important thing is like lift correctly and heavy to build a foundation and to control the body. Also, first we start always with body weight. Then we go over to use some dumbbells, barbells and stuff like that. And when we have the foundation of a little bit of strength and a little bit of muscle mass and control over our body, we go into explosive movements. Because they always start trying to do explosive movements or like stabilization movements, but there is nothing. Like you're standing on a flat surface on golf, like a stable position. So why the hell you trying to do something on the balance pad with a rotation? Makes no sense at all. It's funny to watch. It's cool to watch, but it brings nothing for golf.
Yeah.
So that's why we start at the basement level. It's always like strength training. And then we go up to do some more explosive stuff like jumps, power cleans. And I also try to keep it easy for them. Like, for example, show them how to do a correctly Olympic weightlifting, like clean and jerk. It's very complex. And they're already playing a complex sport. So it makes no sense to show them a perfect clean and a perfect split jerk. So that's why we do, like, for example, power cleans from a hang position. Because technique-wise, it's pretty easy, and you can load up the system pretty fast.
So is that what, when you're looking at helping older athletes or younger athletes, let's say if you were working with someone that was 15 years of age and someone that was 30 years of age, both really good golfers, and maybe one's on the tour and one's aspiring to be a tour, Do you do completely different exercises or training programs there because of the different ages?
Not really. It depends always on the first hour I do with them because then I see how they move correctly. Are they stable? Can they squat correctly? Can they like teach their spine or their scapula to move correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Then after, like we can call it some tests, but they are very individually. So I see how they move. Then I can test a little bit. And out of that, I can see which exercises, which program makes sense for them.
Yeah.
But first, we go over the understanding of the exercise and the movements before starting to load it up heavy. But normally, we would say it's the same program. Just we make more individualization.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, cool.
But importance, like I said, is like strength and then power. Everybody looks for power. But how you want to build power when there is no foundation?
Yeah.
The amount of power you can generate is very, very small. And the risk of injury is getting higher and higher because there's no foundation. This is not just hitting a ball faster. It's also you have to decelerate, right? There's an acceleration and there's a deceleration. And where you're going to get hurt? On the deceleration most of it.
Yeah.
So that's why... very important to train that also.
Yeah, it's definitely very interesting looking at the different areas of the swing and the different styles and ways that we can create power to hit the golf ball further. It really is there's but that all round body strength is just it's just so important.
Yeah, definitely. I see it. I mean, I have no technique at all at golf, but when I hit the ball, I can hit it pretty far.
Yeah, well, you're pretty strong.
Without any technique. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah. So that's why you see strength training, like getting stronger, can help you to improve your golf.
Yeah, there's been some really interesting conversations recently, and I've been involved in a couple of webinars and. Some of the facts and opinions getting around actually why and how people can hit the golf ball further is, as I said, really, really interesting. So maybe I can talk about that for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If you like. So, what we're looking at these days is obviously, when you're trying to pick up the club head speed. Okay. So for for every extra mile of clubhead speed that you can produce, the ball's going to go about 2.9 to 3 metres further. All right. Now, you can, just before we look at where we can get it from, also in regards to the golf swing, if you can pick up your clubhead speed by 6 miles per hour, then on the PGA Tour, you're having one shot on average less a day. Now, the tournaments go for 4 days, so that's 4 shots. So when you're looking at hitting the ball 18 metres further, I mean, you're looking at the top golfers in the world, you're talking definitely hundreds and thousands of dollars and maybe millions. Mm. Okay, and that's just that 6 miles per hour. Now, when we look at Bryson DeChambeau, who recently won the US Open, he's put on 20 kilos of muscle. Picked up.
I saw him. It's not all muscles, but it's mass.
Well, yeah, that's. I've said that a couple of times and recently, and get myself in trouble. So he's put on. You can't put on that much muscle, but I got hammered on YouTube about that. It's 20 kilos of mass and there's a little bit of fat, yeah. And so 20 times what, 3? So, and the guy is still hitting it straight, right? So, but for looking at. It's the difference between succeeding for many and not succeeding when you're looking at this type of speed. Now, when you look at the areas of how you see it, when you look at the long drive champions, right, Simon, they've got now these long drive champions of people hitting the ball absolutely miles where it's like a show. They put the music on, you know, the crowds came in before COVID anyway, but it'll come back. And they've got all the sponsors and the music, and you get these animals, these guys.
Yeah, I saw them. Yeah.
So you're looking at two different styles of people there. I mean, They're just, you're looking at raw power, where you'd see someone just really like a full on bodybuilder, just huge, that would probably swing the club back because of the mass only to a 3/4 position, not a huge backswing, but able to generate so much club head speed through the act. Just the huge bodies and muscles that they have that they're pounding the ball further. But you also have a second style where they're still very muscular, still explosive, still very powerful, but the range of motion and how flexible they are, they're able to swing back much, much further. And the current world champion is actually a guy that swings back so far. When you see his body, he looks like a sprinter.
Yeah.
So he's not small, but the range of motion, it's pretty incredible. And the club's going so far back that when he comes down, he's able to pick up so much speed through that start of swing. So it's not just building mass, but, you have to look at what, if you want to hit the ball further, is it going to be through increased flexibility and strength, or can you just, if you don't have that range of motion, are you just going to put on mass?
Mm-hmm. And then but also, like, you have still to use the correct mass. Like, it brings nothing for you to have like big biceps and stuff like that. So the exercises you choose, they have to make sense. For example, deadlifting, some chin-ups, bench press, like big lifts, and from there on building some power out of it. And then from there on you can go to more like stabilization stuff like that to control everything.
Yeah. There's been a lot said recently when people are looking at, the vertical force of moving into the ground. So you're looking at players pressing down in the downswing into the ground and then exploding back up. And what they're doing then is really getting they're using the ground as leverage. And so a lot of the long drive champions are really working hard with what they call force plates and pushing down and pushing up. But it's extremely hard to do, to put it also into a golf swing. People talk about, just improving your vertical force, but you've only got 0.3 seconds from the top of the ball to impact. So to think that is also very difficult. The other way that, really there's for club golfers looking at pressing into the ground, that's a little bit difficult, but to get the length of swing and also to look at the way the hands and the wrists move. So when the club comes down, you have a bigger angle and then that power is generated at the golf ball as well. So this is something we're seeing from the longest hitters in the world. We're seeing You know, tremendous clubhead speed through hands and wrists, range of motion, and power.
Yeah, that's why we see it so much. It's not just one little thing you should change, or it's important. So much stuff. What is important? What you can change? What you can make better? What makes the golfer better? Yeah,
it is. And I think now what we're going to be seeing, the golf is going to be changing. You will see in the future now people, especially from countries, I believe, like Korea and Japan, where, I mean, you've got around, I think, in with Korean ladies golf, you've got in the top 100 in the world, you've already got around 50. Mm. They're very, very disciplined. They're very, very – they're practicing very hard. They've got great technique. They're really killing the rest of the ladies around the world because of how dominant they are with their swing technique and their work ethic. But now you're going to see them through this modern-day craze of – you know, the statistics, the facts, the power in golf, you're going to see those people from those countries hit the ball further and further. And I think you'll see junior golf also become people really concentrating on speed and power.
Yeah. Do you often see problems in someone who plays golf where you think like, oh man, if you would do a little bit more strength training, like this would be much easier for you to execute?
Just about every single lesson. No, there's no joke. It's just something you're going to see it in. People understand it eventually. It's just every single lesson. It's the first thing I look at when I see. It's just a habit now. I look at their body and I just think, okay, I can just tell within the first swing straight away what they're capable of and what they could improve. And if they all had better information or not better information, but if they realized it, the people that I teach online and all around the world, I can see that when they send a swing through, I can see it in video and I can see straight away. And I get them in contact with some, you know, professional online instructors and go through, you know, a screening test and get them understanding the weaknesses and the strengths in their body, and to see the improvement that people can make in 6 weeks, 2 months is mind blowing, Simon. It's absolutely mind blowing. The people that put in just a little bit of work and understand, I didn't know that I was tired in my scaps. I didn't know that I had the bottom part of my left buttock that was shortened and they can just make massive gains. And that is such a pleasing thing to see.
Yeah. Cool. Nice. Does it make sense to start golf at a later age? If so, what would be the right way to start? For example, somebody who was like 40 years old or whatever, 35 years old, 20 years old, if they want to start, what would be the right way for them?
Yeah, It does. I mean, obviously, you're having a lot of businessmen, a lot of people around the world starting up golf later in life, at an older age, and it becomes sometimes, obviously, when people start a little bit later, it becomes a little bit difficult. And through my experience, when I've looked at all these golfers, they tend to have the same sort of movements and motions in their swing. And for people that start later on in life, they really need to get their hands on good information and mm-hmm. practice with good information. So obviously, you know, seeing a professional instructor, the good ones, the good ones out there, that helps people tremendously. Or getting online really, really good information and not just clicking on all the different videos that I see people doing online and clicking on this and clicking on that and then just getting completely confused without you need to have a plan, you need to have a program, you need to have good information, and through that then you can slowly move through the levels and play your best golf.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because it's the same with strength training. People always look like there are good YouTube videos out there. There are good guys out there, but there are also bad informations. And then people be like, yeah, but I saw a video where he's like talking about like, if I go deeper than 90 degrees on the squat, it's going to hurt my knees. Or they told me to start like in this position because this is the best position. Like, this is bad. Like, for example, I also don't like when like coaches tell like, hey, this is the way, this is the only way it's going to work. If you tell them about the mindset, okay, I agree. The mindset has to, but if it's about an exercise, exercise can be completely changed for somebody who is like completely different than the normal people you talk about.
Yeah, there's
the
a lot of
dance and the squat could be tight or could be wider.
Yeah, there's a lot of junk out there. There really is, and there is some good stuff, but it's still not followed in the correct order. It's still not followed. And I, one of the things that's a little bit of a shame about online stuff is that if somebody has a lot of subscribers or if somebody has a lot of videos or a lot of followers, then everyone thinks it's got to be good, right? It's got that social acceptance. And at times when you've seen people join YouTube just at the right time and get, you know, they can build up a following. I'm not going to mention any names in my industry, but there's some stuff out there when I've seen it and I've just thought, oh, wow, you know, that's amazing. It's just amazing a couple of people that can get 2.7 million views and I'm watching it thinking, man, that doesn't even help anybody. You know, this guy's huge and it's just garbage. But I suppose what you do see when you look at the reality of it, it's just people are like, I guess they're a little bit like sheep. You know, they just follow. They'll go click on that. That's good. But that's disappointing, but it's nice to reach people that are really looking for stuff, and it's nice to be able to help them.
Yeah, definitely. I see it the same. I'm not a hater or something, but there's many stuff out there in the industry. Like, just because somebody has so many followers, like, means nothing. But sure, a soccer team maybe like help see this influencer and be like, okay, like, she has so many followers, we need her for our like soccer team. She could be like doing an athletic session. It'd be like, she's doing like just butt exercises, some crunches and stuff, has millions of followers, and you think she can help a professional soccer team? Like, yeah. Just because she's an influencer. Nothing's about her. It's not her fault. I mean, she did a good job to being a good influencer, but that means nothing about she's a good trainer or has a clue about what she's talking about. She's just good on YouTube. So, for example, there's many good information out there and many not so good. Always be like, ask yourself if it makes sense what you hear and maybe get a second opinion on that. Ask somebody else who's like, do you think this video is correct or do you think the information in this video is correct? And
yeah, that's the thing. I think what we're seeing is, I mean, YouTube, you know, you have to keep releasing stuff, right? So I like to release the same similar information because you're still reaching new people. But what I sort of don't like is the people that have, you know, a huge following and because they're looking for new ideas, they're just releasing another one and another one and another one. Yeah. And it's like, well, how much stuff, where's the order here? What's now try tip number 712? You know, this is the, you know, so that's sort of, and I get a lot of, I get a lot of comments, a lot of questions, a lot of emails, and people say, I'm really confused. I found your platform and it's much more structured. And so, you know, we're trying, Simon, to reach more people with really good information and hopefully we can build that up over time.
Yeah, hope so. We work on that. Quick question, like, if I don't differ between female or male in like a strength training program. Okay, sure, something about the hormones I have to take care about if I have a female athlete. But for exercise science and stuff like that, like, it's almost the same workout plan. It's almost the same intensity and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Do you differ between a female and a male athlete in golf? Like, is there something?
I guess, because, you know, the women are a little more flexible. So when you look at their averages of movement, they're a little bit different at times. So, you know, they'll tend to turn and twist a little bit more. Obviously, when you're looking at, you know, ladies' hips and knees, they're sort of more flexible for normal reasons, like, you know, birth, giving babies and stuff like that. So, I mean, the other thing is when you're looking at different bodies, when you're looking at advanced players, they've all played junior golf. So a lot of the girls, you know, they're not very strong with their upper bodies. right? So you'll see them using a lot more legs to generate that club head speed. Mm. And so that's something that I keep an eye on because it can become a little bit too overactive. And it's all great to hit the golf ball as far as we want, but you still sort of need to keep an eye on that, you know, as they're progressing through the years. And then sometimes I'll just, at a certain age before they're, you know, really, I guess it's too programmed, I might change that just a little bit. But, you know, the modern day swings are starting to get a little bit more involved with feet and legs and things like that. So you've got to be clever the way that you go about doing it. You don't just change people's dominating swing patterns completely.
Yeah, it makes no sense to change it completely.
No,
but that's same for us. Like I see that we focus on female athletes. Like we have to focus more on the upper body a little bit and stabilization. Yeah. We have some female athletes that are very flexible. So we work with tempo when we see something like that. For example, on a squat, normally you're like going fast down and fast up if you can control the movement. If you see somebody's very flexible, we maybe like okay, go down like 3 seconds eccentric. So 1, 2, 3, stop and move up fast.
Yeah.
It could be also the same like if we do something strict press, because we have athletes like they really can overextend their arm. So this is dangerous, okay? So we'd be like, okay, just extend your arm, hold it for 1 second, and then control the weight down. So we focus on that, and we focus on more upper body work. Yeah, because we see female athletes have to get stronger in the upper body, definitely. Yeah. Doesn't mean we don't train the lower body, but just we really see that, and we try to, like every female athlete has to do like chin-ups, bench press, strict press.
Yeah, it was interesting listening to that Bryson DeChambeau that he was talking about all round body strength and you know the lat muscles and the tricep muscles for golf, also you know to be able to pull that club down. So it's just it's a combination of everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And please, people, don't think like triceps extension makes you gonna be a better golfer. You can hit the ball farther. So it's like everything together, it has to work together. For example, a bench press, a chin up makes sense, power clean makes sense, but like the triceps extension, it's not going to make you better.
So have you seen people get completely unbalanced by doing weight training incorrectly, like having an upper body that's overpowering the lower body too strong for the upper body? Or have you seen that with people working on incorrect methods?
Yeah. You see definitely somebody don't like to train legs, because for me, the powerhouse is the legs. Like when people join one of my programs, we always start with lower body. First, I want them to move correctly, to understand the knee alignment, the ankle alignment, to have a correct spine, like to move correctly, keep the core tight, to understand what does it mean to keep the core tight. And often when we start that, we often see people have like huge upper bodies, but no legs. Yeah. Or some of them have huge legs and not enough upper body strength to like make a strict press with like 60 kilos, but on the back squat they hit like 160 kilos.
So yeah, these leg exercises are just, even in my own game recently, picking up, I've been experimenting with speed as much as I can so that I can teach my students. And recently I've been able to pick up my speed a lot through just a lot of different types of lunges and squats and leg work, just really only using small weights and a little bit more explosive power, jumping back up and back down. And it does make a massive difference. And just by getting stronger in your legs and in your behind when you're standing there, you feel better. It makes you feel like society can't push you around or something. It makes you feel more confident and stronger. Yeah. So and I've been able to really pick up my club head speed. I'm actually, at my age now, I'm hitting the ball and swinging much faster than I ever have before. So it's amazing also how late in life you can develop power and speed.
You can do this always, because we never at the highest point we could be. you know. And it's funny because for me, like, every time people be like, oh, Simon, if you learn something new, it's always so easy for you. But yeah, it's just easy for me because I can control my body. Like you say, you stay very, very safe. You're stable. And that's why, because the way I train is like, I know what my body is going to do. So if you give me a golf club, like, I know how to swing correctly because I know how to move correctly. I know how I turn my hips. I know how to use my core. And that's what you should learn throughout a correct French program. Yeah. It's not about just heavy weight. It's not about just lifting weights. It's about also to move correctly. And that's a big, big part. And also, like you mentioned, lunges. Like, it's not always about squatting or deadlifting. It's also about doing single leg stuff.
Yeah.
Split stance stuff. It's very important.
It balances out the body, doesn't it? Because there's always seems to be, or perhaps not always, but there's a lot of time. One side will be a little bit stronger than the other, or one side might be a little bit more unbalanced. Yeah. So by separating both sides, it's a great way to go about it.
Definitely. Yeah. And also, like, where's your last stand after the swing? Like, you're almost standing on one leg, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the second leg is just the toe. So it means you have a triple extension in the back leg, and the front leg is full on the ground. So that's something you can work on. Like, that's, for example, single leg jumps or whatever, or split squat jumps.
Yeah, exactly.
You are very, like we talked about YouTube and online and all that stuff. You're very active on YouTube, what I saw. So tell us a little bit about the people who are going to listen to that podcast. Like, what can they find on YouTube, on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, YouTube for me is it's sort of a stepping stone to World Class Golf Instruction, and World Class Golf Instruction is a platform with it's a self coaching or a coaching platform. It's got 900 videos on there. It's got 50 separate series. It goes from advanced players down to beginners to club golfers to senior golfers. So on YouTube, I'm just releasing really videos showing, you know. I guess I'm the sort of the technique guy, one of the technique guys on YouTube, where I'll sort of draw, you know, draw some lines and stuff, and probably show the people what the top coaches are really doing. I'm using a little bit more evidence based material where I'll show examples of maybe five top players and show the averages of movement. So rather than me standing there, I do hit shots, and, you know, I'm an ex player, but rather than just talking in front of the camera, there's a lot of heads on YouTube, right? Rather than just talking about what they think you should do, I often show top players hitting, and then I'll combine myself in front of the camera. But I'm really just really showing the proof, the facts of the game. And so then that's drawing people to World Class Golf Instruction. And at the moment, YouTube seems to be growing. I'm getting a lot of great comments underneath, people mentioning some of the best stuff they've seen, and often people surprised and writing underneath, why don't you have more followers? And that's a question I'm asking myself.
But I mean, we said it before, followers, sure, it's cool to have like 1 million followers, but this means nothing about your content. You can't content.
That's true. I've got James Jakowski joining World Class Golf Instruction. That's JJ Putting from Instagram. He's one of the world's leading putting instructors. I can't wait for that. I was just chatting to him yesterday, actually. He's currently in Dubai filming a complete series there. So he's joining, and I think that's going to also give the platform, just make it a little bit stronger so that you're not standing alone, you know. He's teaching some of the best junior golfers in the world, actually, and European tour stars, and so that should be cool.
Awesome. Where can people like find you and contact you? Like, for example, they want to book a session or want to book you as a online trainer?
Yeah, there's on my online lessons, I've been doing a lot of work with people from all around the world. That's at craighansongolf.com. So CRAIGHANSON golf.com. And of course, there's worldclassgolf.com.
I'm going to link that down in the description of the podcast and the YouTube video.
Great. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, there's some really, really good information there. And looking forward to, you know, passing on more. Currently doing a lot more videos as well myself. And there's some great stuff in there. I've been lucky enough to do a lot of work with Dr. Robert J. Neal. He's Dr. Neal's one of the probably the world's leading golf sports biomechanic trainer. He's on the biggest shows in America, works with the best players in the world, with McIlroy and all these guys, and I get the chance just to send him an SMS sometimes and say, hey, Dr. Hall, I say, Rob, what's the real movement of this part of the swing and what are the averages? And he's so generous. He just passes the information on to me, and it's that's helped so much. Yeah,
definitely. It's always about a good team and ask people to help each other because nobody knows everything. So
that's right. Yeah.
Although
some people think they do.
Yeah, some people think they do, but come on. Yeah. And it's cool to have somebody to like ask and chat about, and also the same here, like with this podcast, there are some informations I can use for the next training session, definitely when I have a golf year. Yeah,
that's great. Sure. Yeah,
nice, awesome. Wow. Everything else, Greg, you want to talk about? Do you have some questions or?
No, that's yeah, a little bit, just a touch. I've got to hit the road in a little while. So,
yeah, no worries.
I'd love to do it again at some stage. It's been, been great talking to you. And maybe, if there's after Christmas or something, we can do it again, put something else back out there, have another chat. It's been fantastic. So,
awesome. Thank you for your time. You're going to see us soon, I think, maybe in live, maybe via remote.
Yeah. We'll catch up soon. And I'd actually like to take my fitness program a little bit further. So I'll be looking for some help off you.
Nice. Awesome. Sounds great, man. Nice to have you on the podcast. Thank you very much, Greg. Enjoy your day and your weekend. See you soon, my friend.
Thanks, Simon. See you, buddy.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed the episode. This will be not the last one with Greg. I think so. So please subscribe to my podcast on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. Thumbs up and share it with your friends so they get to know us, they get to know Mark Bar Training, they get to know good content. And yeah, like I said, I hope you enjoyed it and take care. Enjoy your day.